The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on February 12, 1994 in Amsterdam. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 7, Verse 44.
It was by Dronacharya's mercy that you learned the military art of throwing arrows and the confidential art of controlling weapons. Purport. Dhanurveda, or military science, was taught by Dronacharya with all of its confidential secrets of throwing and controlling by Vedic hymns. Gross military science is dependent on material weapons, but finer than that is the art of throwing the arrows saturated with Vedic hymns, which act more effectively than gross material weapons like machine guns or atomic bombs. The control is by Vedic mantras, or the transcendental science of sound. It is said in the Ramayana that Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Sri Ram, used to control arrows by sound only. He could pierce his target with his arrow by only hearing the sound without seeing the object. So this is a finer military science than that of the gross material military weapons used nowadays. Arjuna was taught all this, and therefore Draupadi wished that Arjuna feel obliged to Acharya Drona for all these benefits, and in the absence of Drona Acharya, his son was his representative. That was the opinion of the good lady Draupadi. It may be argued why Drona Acharya, a rigid Brahmana, should be a teacher in military science. But the reply is that a Brahman should become a teacher, regardless of what his department of knowledge is. A learned Brahmana should become a teacher, a priest, and a recipient of charity. A bona fide Brahmana is authorized to accept such professions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 44, in the matter of the son of Drona punished. Spoken here, Amsterdam Yatra, 12th of February 1994, 507 Gauravada. Aswatthama had been arrested by Arjuna because he had killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi. And now Arjuna was ready to kill Aswatthama for the heinous crimes he had done. And Draupadi is so compassionate that although this person had killed her sons, now she was feeling compassionate that if he's killed, then well, his mother will feel the same way that I did. And his mother happens to be the widow of my husband's military teacher, military science teacher. So for this reason, she didn't want to have him killed. Now others, they were presenting another case that Aswatthama should be killed because he had committed murder in cold blood, premeditated. He should be given the capital punishment. So Arjuna, he had to balance two different opinions and come up with a proper decision. Like this in life, many times there's various approaches on how to solve a particular problem. And the devotee, by taking sadhu, shastra, guru, into consideration has to decide what to do, what not to do. Then there's also considerations of time, places, circumstance, kaldesh, patra. Arjuna is put in this very difficult situation to try to figure out what to do or what not to do. Other aspect here which was stressed by Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the finer Vedic weapons which were controlled by mantras. Mantras are purified sounds which are able to do different, have different effects. There are Vedic mantras which produce material effects, and they have to be chanted in the right meter and the right intonation, and they create a vibration which has a far-reaching effect. Asvatthama, he had sent a Brahmastra, even though Arjuna was far away, he had sent a Brahmastra to destroy Arjuna, or to destroy Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of the mother. This Brahmastra was so powerful that it could kill the child without killing the mother. It could seek out, nowadays the modern NATO countries, they have developed the seek and find missile system, where they program it. It can go around corners and city streets and somehow get to a destination. But they tried, for instance, to get the president of Iraq, but they didn't know where he was. Because they didn't know where he was, the missile would go where they directed it, but he wasn't there. Somehow didn't get it. But this Brahmastra is so powerful that if you program it, find out this person, doesn't matter where he is, it's going to find him and eliminate him. Unless he knows the counteracting mantras to take away that weapon. Asvatthama released the Brahmastra, but he didn't know how to withdraw it. But Arjuna, he knew how to neutralize the Brahmastra. But in this case of Parikshit, once it was thrown against Arjuna, he neutralized it. In the case of Parikshit, Krishna himself went to save Parikshit Maharaj from the womb of the mother. So these are some things that could be done by the Vedic mantras in a material plane. Nowadays, there's really no qualified people to chant those mantras effectively. Very difficult to chant them properly. So the material mantras in many categories have been prohibited now in the Veda. But the spiritual mantras, which are not restricted to exact mechanical intonation, the spiritual mantras are recommended, like chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Chanting the name of Krishna has got unlimited spiritual potency. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila, Lord Chaitanya expressed to Haridas Thakur how he was feeling great anxiety to consider that how the Yavanas, how the meat eaters, those people against the cows and Brahminical culture, those who eat cow meat and who are against spiritual life, how will they be delivered? So Haridas Thakur explained that even sometimes accidentally they chant the name of the Lord, and the vibration of the Lord's name is so powerful that even if the syllables, for instance, the Muslims, they say Harama. Harama means horrible, or it means like sacrilegious. So he gives the example that since a long time, certain categories, certain people, they have this word harama. That in Narasimha Puran, there was one hunter was being killed by a boar, and while the boar was jabbing him with the tusk, he was crying out, harama, harama. So although he was chanting out that this is horrible, very bad. This is sacrilegious because he didn't want to be killed by a boar, considered it degrading and auspicious. Because somehow he was chanting Harama. So Ha means oh and Rama means the Lord. Even though in his mind he was thinking of something else, he got delivered. Because the vibration and the syllables of Rama is so powerful, it will deliver someone. Similarly, Krishna and many names of Krishna, they are so powerful that it somehow, one says those names, it has an effect. In the Skanda Purana, it mentions the two syllables, Hari. If you simply chant those two syllables, then you get freed from unlimited karmas, reactions. Like Malaysia, the word for day over there is Hari. So when they want to say Christmas Day, they say Hari Krishna. Hari. Hari is the word for day. You know how many times a person has to say day? Every day he'll be having a good day. Hari is the, so they're chanting Hari Hari throughout the day. So somehow by vibrating that, by the syllable, Hari, they get spiritually benefited. This is science of the transcendental sound vibration. Lord Chaitanya one time was walking along the... was walking in Navadvipa with his associate. And they happened to walk by a place where there were some drunkards. Some people had been drinking wine. They were intoxicated. And he saw them. So him and some of these drunkards, they started following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one was like mimicking, said, oh look it, there's Gaurahari! Gaurahari! He chants and dances very beautifully. And they're going behind, and one is like, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. In some broken way, he's imitating, dancing behind in a drunken way. The associates were like really uptight, upset about the whole thing. They didn't know what to do. They kept looking at Lord Chaitanya. He didn't have any reaction. He just walked on, ignored it. After a few, some meters, then the man went back to his place and sat down. One of the devotees asked Lord Chaitanya, why didn't you object? He's chanting and making fun. Lord Chaitanya replied that now he is drunk. Because of the influence of alcohol, he is acting in a foolish way. That influence of alcohol will wear off after a day. But the fact that he somehow or another chanted the holy names of Krishna, that effect will stay with him eternally. So chanting the holy names of the Lord is so powerful. Even if one in mimicking and gaming, if they chant, playing around, even then they get the benefit. Nowadays, then Lord Chaitanya also asked Haridas Thakur, what about the other conditioned living entities, like the plants and the trees and the animals and the insects, how will they get delivered? You're saying that, okay, even the meat eaters accidentally, they chant Hare Krishna or they chant some name of Krishna and that way they get benefit. What about all these animals and that they cannot chant, they cannot reproduce that vibration. How will they get delivered? So then Haridas Thakur said that by the devotees, loudly chant, so that all those living entities are delivered. This is the effect of hearing the chanting. It's all these movable and non-movable animals and insects and birds and bees, they all get delivered. That's why it's important also to sometimes have Harinam to deliver all these other living entities. What to speak of humans who don't chant, they can hear also and get delivered. So this chanting has such a inconceivable effect. So Brahmanas were people who lived. They didn't take a salary. They'd only take dakshin Someone give them a voluntary donation, they would accept. But they won't take a fixed salary. They wouldn't be anyone's hired person. They weren't employees as such. So the students, they wanted to learn from the teacher, and they wanted to respect the teacher. They'd give the teacher dakshin according to their ability. The teacher's duty was to teach all the students. So now it's like society doesn't have varnashram, or doesn't have it. So now everybody's just an employee. But you can see how it would be important that teachers and priests. So kshatriya, if someone's going to be in a government, a ruler, a military person, he should have certain qualities. Can he teach also? Everybody can teach everything, isn't it? I mean, even sutras teach their other people how to do the, say someone's a carpenter, he'll teach his son how to be a carpenter. That's another thing. That his profession is he's a carpenter. He also teaches by engaging apprentices or something he may teach. But this is the whole system even in Europe. So even now I think in these many of these diamond people, they learn from the, I don't know, maybe now they go to university, but up till recent history they've been learning from the family. Now it's probably all institutionalized, I don't know. But before it was something handed down. So, it's like that type of practical teaching. But see, Dronacharya, he was only a teacher. It was his total function was to be a teacher. He did other things part-time. Teaching was the main thing. A soldier may be a full-time soldier, and he may also train some other soldiers, but it's not like he's specifically a teacher. Just like it says that Dronacharya learned some of the art of fighting with a club from Balaram. You can go and ask someone to teach you something. It doesn't. Just like it. Someone who's always a teacher. That's his. Dronacharya was he was the guru of military science, dharma. Being a teacher. Where others, so Dronacharya, therefore he didn't become a ruler. He remained as a teacher. Sometimes he'd fight, but he remained as a, he didn't take exactly the same role as the other, as the kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are rulers. They would become lords, feudal lords under the king. They would have some area that they would control. They'd pay tax to the bigger king, or be the emperor. Like all this, they have a different way of functioning. Any other question?
So about the clubs, what is the best way to take away the desires for profit and adoration?
Profit, adoration, and distinction. Well, Lord Chaitanya said that one should be very humble and tolerant. Trinada Pishwami Chaina Cholinva Sahishna Sahishnata Amadina Maradina Kirtaniya Sahadi. Don't desire respect for yourself, but offer respect to others. Be more humble with the straw in the street, more tolerant in the tree. Then you can always chant the holy name. So that one can also become humble by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving a pure devotee, that helps one to become humble. The mantra has its effect. Many Sankirtan devotees, when they meet someone, they actually pray to Krishna as in the heart of that person to try to inspire the person to engage in Krishna's service. They try to become an instrument in Lord Krishna's hand, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hand. He wants to see the conditioned souls delivered, so it's our special service to Lord Chaitanya. to see that they get the opportunity to read the Bhagavad philosophy and to chant Hare Krishna. Isn't it? That's the same devotees that say that to the Lord in the heart. Same Lord's in your heart is to have mercy on the person that he can take to devotional service, take to the getting a book. But some people, they don't listen to the Supersoul. They may not be so pure, the Krishna that the Supersoul gives us a lot of. At least some devotees, very easily they're able to, despite the association, people become very happy to take books. Some devotees are like that, but they there was one man with a marathon, he wanted to take 6 Bhagavad Gita. Then we went to see him, and then somehow, by Krishna's mercy, he got inspired and he took 600 Bhagavad Gita. Like that, somehow it just, I don't know how it happens. You see, the Krishna's mercy, somehow that's that. But it doesn't always happen. Sometimes people, they don't respond. So the devotee discourse and tries to give different people opportunity to engage in Krishna's service.